on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YokeCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How are you? Welcome back to another episode of the YokeCast podcast. It is opening week for Coyote volleyball and football. Of course, volleyball will be on the road. They'll play Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in Des Moines, and Coyote football right in the Dakota Dome on Saturday afternoon as they host Central Connecticut State. So let's talk about all of it as we lead in to the opening weekend for those two. And of course, soccer in action this week as well. They'll be on the road Thursday night at Northern Colorado and Sunday afternoon at the University of Wyoming. Exciting week this week for Coyote football. They'll play game number one under the direction of Matt Vitstam, the head coach for the Coyotes. He is excited. You could tell all week leading up to it how excited he is for game number one and really excited to see how this team performs. Of course, earlier in the week, he named Austin Majeski the starting quarterback for Saturday. So we'll see how things play out there. Young quarterback, lots of talent, lots of weapons around him. Defense looks to be solid as well. So excited to see this team on the field and see what happens here in game number one of the season. Coming up in the show today, we are going to talk to Leanne Williamson, the head volleyball coach at South Dakota. We will talk to John Starman, one of the new defensive linemen for the Coyotes, and Mark Robbins will give us a preview of Central Connecticut State. Let's get it started this week with John Starman, the Miami, Florida native who played at Brown University before making his way to South Dakota. John, the excitement's been building this week as we get to game week. What's it like for you, one of the players, to finally get to game week after weeks of fall camp and grinding and trying to get ready for this? How does the mindset attitude change when we get to game week?
Like you said, we've been putting in work from winter workouts to spring ball and into camp. It's been a grind, and so now the attitude's kind of switching from beating up on each other in camp to really looking at where we can exploit the other team with their tendencies and new guys coming up, stepping up for the other team. So I think we've really looked at that a lot right now, and that's what we're going to go after as a D-line unit. I don't know how that compares for the safeties or the back end, but that's what we're really looking at right now.
Talk about that D-line this year. Obviously, our fans remember Chris Dixon, one of the mainstays up front, and there's some new guys up front. Obviously, some guys who have been mixed in a little bit. You're a new guy into that rotation, starting up front. What is that defensive line unit like right now?
We're really just trying to play together as one unit and play off of each other. So I've been playing next to Nathan LaPerry and Chris Dixon a lot, and I've learned a lot of knowledge from playing next to them. Really, their football IQ, it's unreal. And yeah, we've just been playing together as a unit, trying to cover for each other in the pass rush and run game, and it's been really fun. Yeah.
Prior to your time here, you were at Brown. You had a couple of sacks in your career there, a couple of tackles for a loss. I always think the defensive line, it can be like the unsung hero of a football team, because it can be really hard to rack up the stats. But you've got to really fill some gaps inside. What's your mindset as you go into plays? And obviously, you always want to make a play, right?
Yeah.
But there's responsibilities that free up other guys.
So I, as a D-tackle, I love to see my linebackers eat. So I'm trying to take up as many double teams as I can. And the guy playing next to me, Chris Dixon, he's been excellent at that. So just really, I mean, if the linebackers are eating, we're eating as a unit, so that's my job pretty much. But getting after it in the pass rush game is also a huge emphasis this year for our D-line, so that's been awesome to see the progress we've made.
Not if, but when John Starman makes a tackle for a loss or a sack this year, what's that celebration like?
Me and Chris have been talking about celebrations. We don't have one pinned yet, but we'll have to get one sorted out before this week one matchup.
I always wonder if there's choreography in that or if it's just kind of heat of the moment type of deal.
Yeah, we'll definitely be talking about something before, but if it's a crazy sack, the emotions are going to go crazy and we'll see what happens.
I'm excited. I can't wait to see it. Now, you've got quite a journey you've been on. You are from Miami, Florida area, and then obviously went to Brown and graduated from there. It's the Ivy League, so obviously you got to be a pretty smart individual. Was that always on your radar to go to the Ivy League for school, or what kind of led you down that path?
Originally, I wanted to stay home for college football, but that didn't work out. And as I gained offers out of high school, I felt like shooting it out to the Ivy League was probably my best opportunity for both academic and on the field. And then graduating early was a huge decision for me because I could come out and get a spring practice or a spring ball with the next team that I'd be with. And it just worked out that the Yotes picked me up, and I've been so happy here. And it's been a journey, but seeing all the different places and people I've met, it's really like shaped my story.
I believe you committed in like either January or February. It was pretty early because, like you said, you wanted to get to spring ball. What was that process like for you and eventually choosing South Dakota, the Miami, Florida kid? We get a lot of Florida guys, it seems like, yeah. Up here. But I can't imagine you really had South Dakota one day circled on your map of places to live. But what was that process like that you narrowed it down to here?
Really... the transfer portal, with it being a shorter window, it's a lot of people compare it to speed dating, and that's really what it was. And Coach Nelson, he was calling me every single day, multiple times a day. He really wanted me out here, and I felt that love. And I know it's a long ways from home, from Miami, but I felt right at home as soon as I took my visit here, and I wanted to commit. And my family's been really supportive. My mom and grandparents, they're going to make it out here for every game. So that's been, I mean, they're a great support system, and we're all really excited for the year. So
very similar to Miami. We've got buildings and people and cars and beaches along the river, kind of like the Miami beaches, right?
Yeah, very similar, very similar. It's the Miami of South Dakota, Vermilion for sure.
You ended up selecting here. What'd you learn about yourself as a football player and about USD as you went through spring ball and prepared yourself for this fall?
So as a football player, I thought that I had a really high football IQ, but after meeting guys like Chris Dix and Nate LaPerry, Gabe Hardman, even they've all really helped my game, and Coach Nelson has completely transformed me as a player. I got here and I thought that I knew a lot of stuff, but I really did not. And I've just learned so much about our defense and why we do stuff, and it's really made me a better player. And then as a university as a whole, it seems like the university runs through the football team, and that's super cool to see all the support that the team gets and how much support is brought to athletics as a whole. And I feel like that's a big difference from where we were at Brown versus here at South Dakota.
Our league is always been held as a high standard, one of the toughest leagues in the FCS. What have you had to change about yourself or adjust to differently so that you can be prepared to compete in a league that, I'm telling you, there's some big offensive linemen in this league?
Yeah. So at Brown, I felt like I could really out-muscle a lot of guys, and it's just been really different. Against our line here in the spring and summer, it's just they're a lot bigger, stronger, and faster, I'd say, and way more athletic than a lot of the old linemen I face. So I've had to adjust my game off of that, but I've really adapted well, and I feel like we're in line to make a lot of plays.
You look at you know, yourself as you get ready for game number one and all of that, and I would imagine the team right now pretty hyped up to get to game week. That fall camp can be a grind.
Oh, yeah.
How do you guys try to get through that? I mean, you've been through a number of fall camps, right? But how do you guys get through that together, get to game week? Game week's not the easy part, but it kind of feels like a breath of fresh air, doesn't it?
Yeah. So we've just been really taking it to each other. And with a long fall camp, you kind of just want to take it one day at a time and make sure that everyone has a great, like, mindset going into the next day. Because if you're not, like, happy where you are, you're not going to have good success on the field. And I think that that's a big change because, I mean, like, every day we've had fun as a unit, and it's like the days can be long, but when you're with a great group of guys, it just makes all the difference.
You've talked about increasing football IQ and technique and things like that. What do you bring to this football team as an individual? What do you bring to this defensive line?
I think that learning how to adjust to formations and like really reading formations before the play has helped me entirely with letting the D-line know when it's going to be potentially pass or rundowns, what play we're going to be expecting. And our transition pass as a D-line unit has been incredible from the beginning of spring to what we've seen at the end of camp. And I think that bringing a pass rush presence will increase our sack amount, because we were towards the bottom of the league last year in sacks, and we really that's been an emphasis to bring that up.
What does Coach Nelson bring to the table, coaching that defensive line? And obviously he's been here for a couple of seasons. What has he done to help you?
So Coach Nelson, he's been a great coach to me. He's really put a lot of emphasis on the little things, whether it's steps, hand placement. He really wants the best out of us, and he gets on us a lot if we're playing down to the level of the O-line, and he wants us to just dominate every day and win every rep. And he coaches us very hard. So,
well, I'm excited for game number one. I know you are too, and I really cannot wait for this Chris Dixon, John Starman celebration after a big play. Have a great week. Good luck this week and all season. I know a lot of people are going to be excited to watch you play. Thanks for the time.
Thank you very much. Excited for this entire season, so it's going to be great. Yeah.
That's John Starman. He is a defensive tackle for South Dakota. His first year for the Coyotes, going to make a start on Saturday on that defensive front, and you can tell how excited he is to make an impact right here at USD. So watch for John Starman, that defensive front. I'm telling you, I can't wait for that celebration when they get that sack. John Starman, Chris Dixon, I don't care who gets the sack, let's get some sacks this season. John Starman joining us here on the Yotecast. Let's keep it with football. The opening opponent of the season is Central Connecticut State. Back-to-back winners of the Northeast Conference and playoff appearances in the FCS playoffs. Had a chance to catch up with Mark Robbins to talk about the Blue Devils. Mark, how are you? How are things feeling as we get ready to kick off another season?
Oh, John, feeling great, very excited, high anticipation personally for a lot of fun, and I think the Blue Devils as well, trying to win a third straight conference championship.
And what a run it's been for them, back-to-back NEC champions, opportunity to go into the FCS playoffs, going, as you mentioned, for that third straight conference championship. What has turn things in this direction and this successful run for the Blue Devils?
Well, Adam Lechtenberg, the head coach, has done a marvelous, maybe even a miraculous job. He came over from Virginia Tech, where he was an assistant, and he has just infused energy into the program, and he's done an unbelievable job of recruiting in the Northeast and in the Northeast in particular, Connecticut certainly as well. He's gotten the best players in Connecticut now. Of course, we're not talking Florida or Texas, but he's been able to get a lot of really talented kids from Connecticut, New England, and the Northeast, and done a nice job building the program.
You look at the team this year, and it's no secret, obviously, some guys that they leaned on heavily from last year are gone. You got to replace some of those key positions, quarterback included. Much like us, there's been a quarterback battle going on at Central Connecticut. What does that look like as they try to put together an offense?
Well, it's a two-man battle, and from what I understand, you'll get a chance to see both of them. Brett Griffiths is a senior. He's a transfer from James Madison, son of a coach. Connor Kenyon is a transfer from Rhode Island, going into his fourth year of eligibility. A little bit more of a pocket passer, so you got the differences in the two quarterbacks. Griffith's been around for a couple of years now here at Central, so he has a little bit more experience and certainly familiarity with the offense. It's a little more continuity when Brett is running things, but both should see some action, I think, and a little bit different styles of me that, for Central's standpoint, will hopefully give the Coyotes something to think about.
Yeah, always keeping defenses on their toes, no doubt. Last year, relatively balanced, about 240 through the air per game, 140 on the ground. Is that the type of approach they want to have again, get that run game going, kind of set up the pass?
Yeah, it has been, and they had a tremendous all-conference and conference offensive player of the year and a running back in Elijah Howard. Was one of the best that Central's ever had. And Central, even though it's a school that isn't talked a lot about, has had a history of strong offensive line play and big physical offensive lines. And this team will be no different. And if they can be physical, they will try to run the football first. And they do a good job in pass protection as well. The stats bear that out. They didn't give up too many sacks over the last couple of years. Brady Olson was able to stand in the pocket and try and pick apart a defense or two.
You look at defensively, what can we expect out of the Blue Devils defense that last year, you know, gave up some yards at times, but obviously did a lot to win football games?
Yes. I think certainly the strength of the defense this year is going to be in the secondary. They have returning starters, Navon Mitchell, who had 40 tackles a year ago. They have Chris Jean, who's a two-time FCS All-American, back in the defensive secondary as well. And he had four interceptions a year ago and 19 solo tackles in his day, in his season. So the strength is going to be on the back end of this defense. They lose Jack Stoll, who's the defensive player of the year in the Northeast Conference. He was the middle linebacker. They tried to get him back in a fifth year with all those legal rulings coming up all over the country. There was talk that he might be able to come back, but he is not able to come back and play again. So losing your middle linebacker, lost a couple of outstanding defensive linemen that could pressure the quarterback from the edge. So it's going to be inexperience up front, and the secondary is going to have to, you know, stand tall. I think they have three starters back.
Central Connecticut picked to win the Northeast Conference again, and if they do that, obviously they're on just quite a run, but it is going to be an interesting start to the season. I would imagine Blue Devil fans have circled October 3rd many times on the calendar. It's the first home game for Central Connecticut State after three road games. It's an interesting schedule to play at South Dakota, have a week off, go to Toledo, then to Montana State, and then they're off again before they get a chance to play at home against Wagner. Very challenging, interesting schedule set up for Central Connecticut State here early on.
Yeah, and it really wasn't by design. They had a game set for early September at home against Fordham. Fordham got out of the game to play a bigger bye game. I forget against whom, but that opened up the hole and made it so Central has three extremely difficult games on the road to start the season. I can't remember any team anywhere that started with three straight on the road. And at that level, starting with the Coyotes in Vermilion on Saturday.
You know, when you look at it, the two FCS teams they've been playoff contenders the last couple of seasons, South Dakota and Montana State. So if Central gets through this and wins the league like they are picked, this team's going to definitely know what it takes to win in playoffs by the time that comes around.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, they've been there the last 2 years, and last year was certainly a very close and winnable game against Rhode Island. So, and you're probably seeing it, John, being in the Midwest, but the East Coast is playing really solid and improving FCS football. Yale went and won a game at Youngstown in a big rally and made some noise in its first time in the FCS playoffs. And, it's changed a little bit over the last 10, 12 years. So the East Coast, the Northeast in particular is not, you've always had Maine and New Hampshire in there in the FCS level, but they're getting some company now from other schools.
Mark, you see that league obviously up close. You see the team up close. At the end of the day, what does Central Connecticut have to do? What do they have to prove this year if they're going to put themselves in that conversation by the end of the year to potentially win a third straight Northeast Conference title?
I would say stay healthy, for one thing. I mean, there's a concern when you're playing at the level that Central has to play for the first three games. There's always that concern about getting any injuries. This is a young team. This is a team that doesn't have a lot of experienced depth. And they're going to get some, certainly, as you point out, in the first three games of the season. But they've got to stay healthy to do that. I think if they can find and settle on one of the two quarterbacks, I would expect the offensive line to get better as the season goes on, because I've seen it happen year in and year out. And once that O-line gets better, as you've seen, and you can be balanced and you can run and protect the quarterback.
We're looking forward to it and get the season underway. It's South Dakota and Central Connecticut State on Saturday. Mark, thanks for the time. Really appreciate the conversation.
Pleasure to talk to you. Hi to everybody that I used to know in South Dakota.
That is Mark Robbins. He also works in television. In fact, worked at KDLT back in the day when KDLT was located in Mitchell. He said he lived close to the Corn Palace, and I believe the station was, the studio was right off of I-90, right off of the first exit going into Mitchell. So a guy who's very familiar with the state of South Dakota. Volleyball set to start its season this weekend. They'll be in Des Moines, Iowa, Friday night matchup against Drake, and then playing on Saturday against Milwaukee and Sunday against DePaul. The Coyotes earlier this week were picked to finish second in the Summit League preseason poll by the league's coaches. It was announced on Wednesday, tied for second with St. Thomas. South Dakota State was picked to win the league title. Jackrabbits got 6 first-place votes. South Dakota and St. Thomas each with 1 first-place vote. The rest of that league standings, 4th place, North Dakota State, then Omaha, North Dakota, Kansas City, and Oral Roberts. South Dakota's listed players to watch were Avery Van Hook, the senior setter, and junior outside hitter Lauren Maddock. I had a chance to catch up with Coach Leanne Williamson and talk to her about the upcoming season.
Coach, it's game week for your team. As you look at the preparation, how has the preparation gone for your group as they ready themselves for a new season?
I mean, it's gone incredible. This preseason has been a lot of fun to be a part of. The team has very much bought into how deep we are, how much talent we have in our own gym. So it has been a lot of high-level volleyball being played every single day. With the addition of the second exhibition match, that helps a lot because we are able to schedule 2 of them, 1 down at Creighton and then 1 at home versus Augustana. And I think being able to play that about week earlier, be able to play somebody else, see what we are good at, see what things we needed to correct, and then have another week of practices before we took on that second opponent was really good for us. And we saw a lot of those adjustments being made within our team. And then after that second exhibition, again, we're in that next week where we're able to fully prepare for what this first, you know, game that is going to come with a win or a loss, you know, what that's going to look like. And I firmly believe that we are going to be the best team that we can be when we step on the floor on Friday because of the preparation, because of this preseason, because of the time that they have put in both on the court, but then off the court as well, developing relationships and trust and chemistry and all of those things that go into obviously being the best team that we can be. So it's been a lot of fun so far. I know that there's a lot more fun to be had. But I think they are ready to compete and play somebody else.
Every season's a new adventure, whether you lose one player or multiple players and bring new players in. Do you change the approach to the year, the approach to fall camp, or do you kind of find something that you feel like has worked and obviously a program that's had a great deal of success and you stick to that, or is it a team-by-team type of basis?
It's honestly a little bit of both. You know, there are some things that we do that we won't change, you know, that have worked for us and that I am confident will continue to work for us. But you're right that every team is different. And you think about personalities and you think about what we have coming back and you think about the experience that you either have or don't have, skill sets that we're either good at or maybe need to put some extra time into. Those are the things that are going to adjust a little bit. And, you know, going into this season, we we do have a lot of returners. We have a lot of people that have a lot of experience coming back, and you know, that will be able to, I think, help us again. And with that, you know, even one of our freshmen graduated early. Gabby came in January and trained with our team this spring. So that really left Chloe being the last person to be added to our team on campus, and she came in June. So, you know, when we looked at starting on August 3rd, I believe is the day that we started, we were able to hit the ground running a little bit quicker than probably what we would have been able to do in the past when you brought four or five freshmen in. So that was a lot of fun. I think it was really good to see our team adapt to that really well. And honestly, Gabby and Chloe have done a fantastic job catching up and catching on very quickly. So every year is a little bit different just based on the makeup of the team, the personalities of the team. And I think even us as coaches, like, we continue to learn about ourselves. You know, how do we best impact this group? And, you know, what are adjustments that we're making to ourselves? You know, we ask our players to do that. And it's no secret that us as coaches are doing that as well. So there's kind of those non-negotiables that we're going to do and stay consistent. And then there's things that we're going to adjust based on the team chemistry and makeup.
You mentioned a lot of returners, and that's one of the benefits of not having a big senior class from a year ago. A lot of your production offensive was sophomores and freshmen. Does that feel like it just breeds confidence going into a season like this? I mean, it's hard to be mid-season form when you start the season, but do you see a different confidence level when you've got a group of returners like that?
Absolutely. It's been a lot of fun to see what the level that they've been able to play at already is probably the better way to put that. And, you know, from a defensive end, we've been really good in our own gym. And I think that was an area that people were maybe a little bit questioning just because Cameron, obviously 2-time defensive player of the year, did graduate last season. But this group has come in, not only our DS group, but our team as a whole has come in and played at an extraordinary level of defense in our own gym. So with that, our offense was challenged right away. And those are returner attackers, you know, that have had a success and seen success not only in our own gym, but against a lot of other people. And they were challenged early and they probably got frustrated early. But because of that experience and because of the depth that we have in our gym, they've gotten, I don't want to say mid-season form quicker, but they have improved quicker because they had to. So I think that experience, the returners, just the understanding of how we play, how to best be themselves and to find success, earn success. There's obviously a million ways you can put it. They're not waiting and hoping things are given to them. You know, they're going out and finding ways to make it happen. Has been really good to see. But there's just a trust. There's a comfort level. There's a respect amongst our team right now that, you know, there are a lot of people that could impact this program and will impact this program on the court. And it's not just the same six or seven. So mid-season form, not quite there yet, but definitely I think seeing growth faster because of the experience that we have.
Of course, that senior from last year was Cameron Ferris, a player who became a very reliable defensive player. And I hope people understand the impact she had, not just on the court, but off of the court as well, for everybody. How do you replace a player like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. Every year, I think I get asked that question about somebody. And that's the fun, but also the tough part about sports is they do graduate at some point, and we form these great relationships with them and, you know, understanding of who they are as people and players. And obviously, Cameron is one that was very special to a lot of people, you know, not only on our team, but in the community and within the university. She just kind of truly did it all. And obviously, defensively, I don't think you replace her, but you shape the next group. And this group is older and they are wiser and they are more experienced, you know, and they had to step up and take a lot of that in the spring. So they've already had quite a few months to kind of work through that. And I've been really impressed with that group. But I do think that's a part of Cameron's legacy, you know, is you come into practice, you work hard, and you treat people well along the way. You know, I think is probably a pretty good way to describe Cameron. And this group, I think, continues to do that at a high level. But again, you don't replace her, but every team figures it out, you know, and it's us, it's on us as coaches to put the people in the positions that are going to impact the team the most, but we feel really confident with that group right now, both in the DS group, small group, but then also the team as whole playing defense, very similar to what I think people would expect out of us.
You'll learn more about this as the matches get underway, but as you look at this team right now, as it is today, as you get ready for week number one from last year, what's been the biggest growth for this team?
I think just the level of depth, you know, from we have 17 people healthy right now. All 17 of our players, I think, are good enough to contribute in some capacity. And that makes it really good in our own gym. It also makes it hard because there's a lot of people that are very competitive and want to contribute on the floor. And not all of them are going to get that opportunity, especially early on. So I think the challenge is how do we maintain that level in our own gym? How do we maintain those relationships? How do we maintain that trust? That, again, being the best version of ourselves is the most important part of this journey. And that can be really hard. And going into this first week, it probably gets harder because things start to feel a little bit more real. They start to feel a little heavier. And it's not because they don't support each other. It's just they all want more. You know, they all want to be the one that was getting their name called, you know, on opening night. So that's where I think it can be tough. But the growth is just how good we are as a collective group. And I thought we were good last year. But again, the experience that has returned that has also had more training and more time in the gym with us that, again, they see themselves just get more and more consistent, more and more dynamic is incredible and something that I'm really excited for because I think it's going to help us win a lot of matches along the way. Because we don't have to rely on just a few people. We've got lots. And you really look at last year, and that was another thing that helped us last year. When Lauren sprained her ankle later on in the season, that second half of conference, Sam Laird came in and did an incredible job for us and honestly helped us win matches, you know, along the way. And, you know, she continued to wait her turn and get better. And when her number was called, she made a difference, you know. And that's part of, even though she's not suiting up anymore with her career-ending injury, but she is still able to impact this team because she has been there. She has seen it, and she knows that, you know, she was able to do that for this team, and she knows that we're going to need that from somebody else this season as well.
You talk all the time about scheduling, and you want to challenge your team, especially in the non-conference as you get ready for conference play. You've got a couple of road trips. You've got, obviously, a home tournament, and you've got some matches in the Pentagon this year. What do you hope to get out of this challenging schedule you put together for this team?
I mean, honestly, as always, we've always scheduled difficult. This might be one of the more difficult ones that we have put together, however. But when I look at this season and I look at this group, I feel like they deserved a really challenging schedule. I felt like they deserved the opportunities that will be in front of us to not only play high-level competition, but also find opportunities to hopefully knock some of those people off. And again, this team has experience. This team has confidence, and we're old. You know, we're older, I guess, is probably the better way to put it. And with that, I think that they understand how to approach those games a whole lot better. So for us, playing the best is going to teach us how to be our best. They're going to show us what we do well. The teams are going to show us where our weaknesses are. And then we're going to be able to go back each week and find ways to enhance our strengths, but then also bring our weaknesses up a little bit. So by the end of the preseason, you know, our goal is to be the best team that we can be again. That doesn't change based on the competition that we play. But I do think that this one is going to really allow us to do that because we are going to be challenged from the beginning. So and then I think the other part of it is this team has very high expectations. We want to be the NCAA tournament again. You know, we want to get back there. But we also have that goal of winning a match in the NCAA tournament or matches. And in order to do that, we have to be comfortable with teams of the caliber that we are going to be playing this preseason. So it's a good opportunity to not only prepare us for our conference season, but it's also a good opportunity to prepare us for the postseason if and when we are lucky enough to get there.
Yeah, I know a lot of people excited for the Kiowa volleyball season. Coach, thanks for the time. Appreciate it. Good luck this year and especially this weekend to open up the season in Des Moines. Thanks for the time.
Thanks. As always, go Yotes.
That is Leanne Williamson. She is the head volleyball coach at the University of South Dakota. She has built a career here, started her career as an assistant, a graduate assistant way back in 2009 and, of course, eventually elevated to the head coach, has seen a great deal of success as the leader of the volleyball program, and we're hoping for another big season for Coyote volleyball. Time now to take a look at what is going on in Coyote athletics as we wrap things up. Thursday night, it's a matchup for women's soccer in Greeley, Colorado. They'll take on Northern Colorado. 8 p.m. Central Time is the start time of that one. Volleyball, 6 o'clock Central Time Friday in Des Moines. They'll take on the Drake Bulldogs. And then on Saturday, 1 p.m., football kicks it off against Central Connecticut State. It's a blackout inside the dome, so wear black and come on out and support the Yotes. First game under head coach Matt Vitstham, 1 o'clock Saturday afternoon. We'll be on the air on the pregame show on the Coyote Sports Network at 12 o'clock. You can also watch the game on Midco Sports and ESPN+. Volleyball also in action on Saturday afternoon, 3 p.m. start time as volleyball takes on Milwaukee in the Drake Tournament. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m., volleyball wraps up play in the Drake Tournament against DePaul. And 11:30 a.m., soccer will kick it off against the University of Wyoming in Laramie. That's what's going on in Coyote athletics. As always, you can check for changes and ticket information at goyotes.com. That's it for me this week. I'm John Thayer. Have yourself a tremendous weekend. As always, stay safe and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to Yotecast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.